bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what, because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of a judgment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people, if you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at The Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. That was Lisa's fault it took so long. Everything. It's Friday. I got to blame somebody. I'm popping off about Lisa. It was not Lisa's fault. Not at all. I talked too much, and then it ran too long, and then I ran behind like I always do. I used to keep exact time, right? And then I just got... Let my ADHD take over. So whatever, boop, I just went that way. Man, I'm just saying. Yeah, it's been a rough week. It's been a pretty rough week. I'm glad it's over. Get to relax, chill, do things I like to do. You know what I like to do when I pop off on Friday? It's to say, hey, Mexico. You can kick rocks.
Number 5.
The U.S. Supreme Court, this is from Axios.com, U.S. Supreme Court rejected yesterday Mexico's $10 billion lawsuit against U.S. gun makers that alleged the company's loose controls allowed for the weapons to be illegally trafficked in the Latin American nation. So, why does all this matter? Well, the unanimous ruling ends a years-long legal battle in the first-of-its-kind suit. That's how the Mexican government tried to hold U.S. gun makers accountable for drug cartels' high rates of gun violence in parts of the country. And so the Supreme Court ruled that the 6 gun manufacturers, including Smith & Wesson and Glock, and a distributor, were shielded under the Protection of Lawful Commerce in Arms Act. Congress enacted this law in 2005 to halt lawsuits attempting to make gun manufacturers pay for harms resulting from the criminal or unlawful use of a firearm, wrote Justice Elena Kagan. In asserting that the manufacturers intentionally supply guns to bad apple dealers, Mexico never confronts that the manufacturers do not directly supply any dealers, bad apple or otherwise. Kagan said that the Mexican government had not pinpointed, as most aiding and abetting cases do, any specific criminal transaction between the defendants or that the defendants had allegedly assisted in. So what they're saying, Smith & Wesson in a statement yesterday called the ruling a big win for Smith & Wesson, the weapons industry, American sovereignty, and most importantly, every American who wishes to exercise his or her Second Amendment rights. The company added this suit brought by Mexico in collaboration with the U.S. based anti-Second Amendment activist groups was an affront to our nation's sovereignty and a direct attack on the constitutional. I'll get the word right. The constitutional rights of law-abiding citizens. And so when you look at this, it's kind of different. Well, Mexico's foreign minister said it strongly disagreed with the Supreme Court, as if you have power over our Supreme Court, their decision, and it will continue to do everything in its power to curb illicit arms trafficking, exhausting all available legal and diplomatic remedies. Could you do that with people crossing your border coming into America? Imagine that. If you could do it with a gun, you could do it with a human being. They're significantly larger than a gun. This is ridiculous. This makes absolutely no sense. And that's why I said they can go kick rocks. I had a story earlier this week about a shooting outside of FedEx. And by the time they got there in Menominee Falls, the person was gone.
Number four.
A FedEx employee at the company's Menominee Falls facility is on the run and charged with attempted first-degree homicide in this week's early morning shooting. According to a criminal complaint, DeAnthony LaFleur, 19 years old, shot at his manager early this past Monday morning. And prosecutors said LaFleur showed up at about 2:30 for his 3:30 a.m. shift. The complaint said the manager told him to go home since he was not allowed to start his shift early. His manager told investigators that LaFleur said, blankety blank, what's up with you and my sister? I'll up with you. I'll up on you, which is, you know, African-American vernacular for I'm going to come at you or come beat you up or whoop up on you. Anyway, the complaint said his manager took this comment to mean the defendant was going to shoot her. She says she told security staff to now allow LaFleur into the facility because of his escalating behavior. And I'm sure whoever wrote this meant to say not allow. They said now allow. About 3:50 a.m., investigators told LaFleur was said he returned, punched his manager in her left eye area with a closed fist. Prosecutors then said another manager tried to separate them, and LaFleur ran toward a fence, grabbed a handgun from his backpack, and shot at his manager as she ran back towards the building. Detective found one spent casing at the scene, but they did not report any injuries. In a statement to WISN 12 News this past Monday, communications manager for FedEx said, "We are aware of an incident outside of the North Milwaukee facility and are grateful there were no injuries. The safety of our team members is our highest priority." I think I read that already. "We are fully cooperating with law enforcement investigation, and any further questions should be directed to the investigating authorities." And that's what I read on Monday or Tuesday, one of those days. And so now they know who did it. They actually know who did it. So, what's the name again? DeAnthony LaFleur, 19 years of age. How's that for a manager telling you, "Hey, you can't come to work early"? Like, "I don't want to get paid early. I'm just here early." Nope, can't come. Can't come. And now, let's go back out. You know, you ever see those old TV shows? "And now we go out live to the St. Francis School District," right? You know, "We'll go live to X in the producer's studio." Well, we're going to go back to St. Francis School District.
Number three.
Well, well, well. The plot thickens. A former St. Francis High School baseball coach, which is who TMJ4 was going to talk to, and they got thrown out, and they have this whole open records issue going on, is accused of sexually assaulting a child close to his family. Prosecutors this week charged Jeffrey Wuerl, W-U-E-R-L, 39, with three counts of repeated sexual assault of a child, one count of third-degree sexual assault, and one count of causing mental harm to a child. Now, according to the criminal complaint, the sexual assault dates back to when the victim was 5 years old. In a letter to the sent to families, of course, I think I read it before, St. Francis School District Superintendent Deborah Kerr said the district took immediate action after the arrest and Royal was released from all coaching responsibilities. District said it is cooperating with law enforcement, and the criminal complaint did not identify, of course, any instances of sexual assault involving St. Francis students. And they also did not release the name of the student because, I'm sorry, the name of the child, because the child, we believe, is a minor. So, interesting. Do you trust businesses? Like, do you trust businesses to do the right thing? Like, when you go into business, you expect them to give you the service that they say they're going to give, right? Are you serious? So when you go to McDonald's, you'd be like, and don't say, I don't go to McDonald's. You know what I'm saying. You go in to get something to eat, you expect them to do their job, right? Or you don't order it. You get your order wrong. I mean, it's two-way. You mess up stuff, too. He always try to act like he's perfect. I'm perfect. I ordered exactly what I wanted. And then you look at the receipt and go, that's not what I ordered. But what if you took your car in for a repair? Okay. What if you gave somebody something to fix, like a TV, something like that? You expect them to fix it and, you know, tell you this is how much it's going to cost. You're going to come get it and all that. Right?
Number two.
Well, this from Fox6Now.com. Customers trusted a West Dallas business with heirloom pianos. Listen to my next two words. Years later, they wonder what happened to their treasured instruments. Well, Cassandra Kaminsky plays a piano. She remembers her grandparents. Kaminsky was about 12 when her grandpa took her to a piano warehouse and picked out a 1930s Charles Frederick Stein piano. Now, if you know anything about pianos, Stein pianos are the bomb diggity, if y'all know what that means. And I'm only talking to boomers. Everybody else, you can go somewhere and sit down. My grandma raised me, and she wanted me to get lessons. It's such an important memory to me. We tried all the pianos. We played every single one. Kaminsky used to play the piano every day. In 2012, her grandma died. Years later, grandpa got dementia. She says her grandpa neglected the piano in his final years. Keys got stuck. So what did they do? They made the decision to repair and refinish the instrument. So in 2023, she hired Tom Newhouse of Newhouse Piano Workshop to get the piano playing properly. May 2025, she met with Contact 6 at a Muskego warehouse where a piano was being kept in pieces. Some of the piano parts are missing. It's frustrating. It's heartbreaking. This is not how you run a business. This is not how you treat people. Well, Kaminsky says Newhouse removed her piano's interior hardware for repairs and haven't given it back. The rest of her instrument was sent to CT Refinishing to refresh the instrument's exterior, and that work finished months ago. And Kaminsky said CT Refinishing did a beautiful job. So then what's the holdup? Well, the piano can't be reassembled until Newhouse sends back the musical components he's supposed to repair. Like, you know, the harp, you know, that part where the keys strike, the key bed, and then the dampeners, which are the things that you press to dampen it and make it softer. Well, she says Newhouse missed his January 2025 deadline. Here's the rub. She already paid him $5,500. He's like, oh, I'm sorry, I've been sick. I'm heavily sedated in the hospital bed. All of a sudden, I'm seeing tons of horrible reviews about people who can't get their pianos back. Kaminsky says Newhouse stopped responding to her calls and emails. Oh, my gosh, did I just get scammed out of my piano? I spent probably a full week bawling my eyes out. And so here's the question. Did you check the Better Business Bureau? Did you go to Google and say, review of Newhouse Piano Workshop? Well, Newhouse Piano Workshop gets an F from the Better Business Bureau. Located near 81st and Greenfield, Contact 6 found this door locked. Items visible through the front windows appeared dusty. West Dallas police confirmed they're investigating Cassandra's case, and they're also investigating whether Newhouse is violating the West Dallas sex offender ordinance by listing the shop as his residence. 20 years ago, Newhouse was convicted of sexually assaulting three students at Cedarburg High School between 1996 and 2003. A criminal complaint says Newhouse was a stage director at the school supervising drama activities. See, those are the things. Coaches, drama activity, I'm there as much as I possibly can to see the interaction. In 2017, Newhouse spoke to Contact 6 about another unhappy customer, Karen Fields, 3 years prior. Karen sent her Schultz baby grand. Her Schultz baby grand to him for repairs. She still hasn't gotten it back. So they got police reports. They're working on it. And so now, attorney William Reinhardt, managing partner at Reinhardt and Scafidi and Reinhardt, has represented some of Newhouse's unhappy customers in court. Reinhardt says, in my point of view, this goes well beyond just being bad at your job or even negligence. It's gross. It's beyond gross negligence. Reinhardt was hired to help a Minnesota family collect their piano from Newhouse, plus an $80,000 civil court judgment. Circuit court records show Newhouse owes five customers more than $170,000 in unpaid judgments. To my knowledge, he has not paid any judgments, and he has not returned any pianos, and he also owes $80,000 in taxes. And yes, there's a tax warrant attached to it. Other customers, where do you go to check on businesses? I need a list of all your customers, and I need to be able to call those customers, not all of them, but enough of them, to find out whether or not there's a good reference. Now, if you went and got a job, you would use references. But when you go have somebody give business, when you go to somebody to have them fix something, wouldn't you get a reference? I got a reference when I went to my car repair guy. In fall of 1994, I think summer or fall of 1994, when I bought my first house. You know, I still go to that same person. Over 20 years later, I go to the same person. When people ask me, I need to go somewhere to get my car fixed, go there. I even had somebody recently say, why didn't you tell me? Well, I did, but you wasn't listening. So when you want to do what you want to do, knock yourself out. And then when people ask me, well, how long have you been going to your car guy? Since 1994. Is he expensive? I really don't care. My car is fixed and I don't have to go back. I have never returned. I think maybe one time in 20-something years have I actually returned back to the same place to get something fixed. But the mess up wasn't the car, like it wasn't repaired. It found something else. You know, because sometimes things cascade. And then sometimes you're hard-headed. Oh, well, I need a tire. And they go, well, you know, looking at your treads, you probably just get four tires. Oh, they're trying to get four tires out of me and make me pay. I'm not going to do it. I'm just give me two tires. And then you get two tires, and what happens? You end up needing four. So then you go back, got to get four tires. So they reached out to this guy. He was able to schedule a meeting at the business in June. A family member will assess the piano and it may be returned to Lamb. So all these people are just going after this guy because he just doesn't do his job. He didn't do his job. So do you really trust business now? I still do. But you got to verify certain things. You have to go in and get literally, I don't go anywhere, do anything, eat anywhere, unless I know somebody who's already gone there, or else, hey, there's this new place. Yeah, that's nice. I'm not going. Why not? Because it's new. And when it's new, Lord knows what you get. I'm just saying.
Number one.
Well, wait. What's the saying people say? Today is my happy day. This is my happy dance. This is my happy song. Well, this is my happy day. From CBS 58, a verdict has been reached in the Maxwell Anderson trial on the ninth day of the trial today. June 6, a jury found Anderson guilty on all counts. First degree intentional homicide, mutilating a corpse, arson of property, other building, and hiding a corpse. It took 31 minutes for the jury to deliberate. After about 20 minutes, On Thursday, they didn't ask any questions. That's less than an hour. Standing room only crowd listened intently as Judge Laura Crivello read the verdicts aloud shortly after 9 o'clock. And I watched it on Fox 6 Now. The courtroom was the most crowded it had been the entire trial. Sade Robinson's family and friends had many supporters, not all of them people who knew the young woman or her family, and many of them just concerned people from the community who followed the case all along. Maxwell Anderson's parents were not in the gallery as they had been every other day of the trial. There were no outbursts or applause when the verdicts were read, but many people were crying. After Maxwell Anderson was led out in handcuffs and the trial ended, family and friends hugged and cried in the gallery. They spent the next 45 minutes or so in a private room reserved for their family, then walked outside of the safety building to talk to the media. I am in agreement with this, not because the guy got arrested and so he did it. No, he got arrested and he had a trial and they presented all the facts and it was open. And it was on TV, and anybody wanted to see it could see it and watch it, and that was that. I had my doubts that they would do it. I had my doubts because there were some things that occurred that just didn't make sense. There were some things that were missing, and what they did is they did like most cases. They had enough circumstantial evidence that piled up high enough to convict them. And I, for one, are very glad that they actually convicted him. I'm scared what would have happened to this city had they had a not guilty verdict or had a hung jury. The family demanded justice, and they got justice. This is the way the system works. I applaud the prosecutors. I applaud those. I applaud the defense attorney. He held his cool. He was competent. He was a very competent attorney, and he did his job. He had a few subtle things like, you know, calling him certain things like, you know, Max, when his name is Maxwell, you know, to you know, humanize him. But I don't know if you could humanize him. I don't know if you could. He's a monster. He should be locked up, and hopefully he will get life because he got found guilty of first-degree intentional homicide. And in Wisconsin, I think that might be 40 years to life. So, yeah. Good luck with that, Max.
One call, that's all.
Truth Nation, now's your chance to be our one call, that's all 5K giveaway entry for the day. Yes, you can be entered in to win $5,000 courtesy of Gruber Law Offices. Be caller number 4 right now at 833-212-1017, and you'll be entered in to win the $5,000 giveaway with the award-winning 101.7 The Truth and Gruber Law Offices. Again, that's caller number 4 at 833-212-1017. Remember, if you or your loved one has ever been injured in an accident, contact Gruber Law Offices now. Visit them at gruber-law.com. That's gruber-law.com. For official contest rules, visit 1017thetruth.com.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Yes, sir.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You know, time to upgrade your windows and or doors, but don't want to, you know, spend a fortune. Well, Pella, the best in the industry, has a product line for every single budget. And right now you can get no interest and no payments for up to 2 years. So if the plan is to wait, guess what? You can get it now and wait to start making payments up to 2 years later. Certain restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th of 2025, so set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com. 833-212-1017 is the number. Who's our winner? Who's our winner? Winner, winner. Wayne, congratulations. You are a entry winner for Gruber. One call, that's all. 5K giveaway. So congratulations. Outstanding work. Outstanding. 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 So we had some comments here. Let me go back. LT said, where you been, LT? LT said, I guess we will be back here a year from now saying the same thing about MPS because nobody will hold the parents of these kids responsible for their lack of reading and math skills. You can pay the superintendent $1 million a year. You can pay the teachers $100,000 a year. If the parents are not reading with their children, if they are not going over math problems with their children after school and making sure they get their homework done, these kids are forever destined for failure, and nobody knows it, and nobody will say it. This is part of raising our children. That is true. This is why I would call on the teachers' union, the school board, and everybody who's licensed in the Milwaukee public schools, nurses, everybody. Let's extend the school day. Let's keep kids over the summer. Yeah, we'll take a break in between like we do for Christmas, in between the semesters and all that stuff, or marking periods, whatever y'all call them now. Let's do it. Let's be in school in summertime. Let's just do it. We'll have some three-week gaps. You can go on vacation with your kids and do all that stuff, and after a couple of years, you'll be used to it. And we'll tell people when it's going to happen. So don't start in 2026. Start in 2027. We're going to expand the school year. When this contract is up with the teachers, expand the school year, expand the school day. And you'll get paid all summer. Will it raise the amount of money you need? I'll gladly pay more in my housing tax, in my property tax. Gladly. Because now school is year-round. They've got four major breaks during the year. And that way they get break. They get the holidays off. They get the 4th of July off. They get Labor Day off. But they'll go to school in July and August. And they'll learn how to read better. They'll learn how to write better. Instead of it being a 6 or 6.5 hour day, make it a 7 hour day. If you got to pay for some food or some extra snacks, let's pay for some extra snacks. And we can use that extra time not for mental health days, but we can use that extra time for reading, writing, and arithmetic, giving them the extra things they need. They can do their homework. Hey, after school, you get to come here. You can do your homework. I say, why not? I totally agree, LT, but not about the parent responsibility thing. Sometimes parents can't be responsible. Sometimes they're working so hard, they're just trying to make ends meet for whatever, two-parent, one-parent, single, whatever. Situations and circumstances may not allow some people to do that. So what do? You adapt and overcome. If you spend more time at something, you get better at it. So if you're not going home and doing your homework, you have an hour after school or maybe two to get your homework done. I don't really see that that's a problem. If you want to keep those kids in school so that they can learn, so in the fall you give them their tests in October, give them their tests. They'll probably do significantly better. It'll take a little bit of an adjustment, but they'll do fine. I have faith. Lord knows if I made it through 8th grade in high school, anybody can. 833-212-1017 is the number. Sandra, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hi, it's me again.
Yes. How are you?
Yes, I am fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, I was listening, and then I listen a lot. And then I talk a lot, too. I mean, to myself.
Okay.
In the house.
So give
when everybody,
me,
you so, know, when they come.
So huh? give me one of them things you talked about.
That you talked about?
No, that you talked about to yourself based on what I said.
Oh, well, today was when you said people made comments about that Brenda Casillas.
Yep.
I guess I pronounced her name right.
Casillas.
About mentioning, about mentioning the crime.
Mm-hmm.
I was one of them, and I think the town did too.
Right.
So I recognize when you said that. But the reason I said it is because every time when people speak, they speak of crime, and crime to me is a code for black.
No.
And see, like every time people open their mouth, it's always got to be the crime. And it is. And to me, even when black people say it,
okay,
it's a code for black people because that's who they associate with the crime all the time.
But isn't that the media's fault, not ours?
Well, but we fall prey for it. Fault.
But we commit the crime. But wait a minute. But we commit the crime.
Not all the time. We're not the only ones.
We're not the only ones.
That's not an excuse. You don't see their crime.
Don't raise your voice at me. I'm going to come over there and
I'm just saying you don't see their crime on TV. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to give you a big one because I'm coming down here.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be looking at you right in that window.
Uh-oh. but the bottom line that's is, for sure. in the end, it's unfortunate, but I wish we had this much of a dust up about stopping shootings and reckless driving than we do that somebody said something about us.
Mm-hmm. I just don't like it to be all black code. Human black code is always black people. But the shooting,
but the problem is
they claim they can't do nothing about the guns.
Is it true?
It's false and false, black the kids.
Is it true?
Answer
my question.
It's not true,
I don't want everybody looking at
black people like we're the criminals.
Is there crime in the city of Milwaukee, and is the majority of the homicide crime black people?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think so.
Yes,
I think crime is created.
You're missing my
crime
point.
Is
I'm
created.
Talking about homicide, shootings.
Crime is
I'm
created.
Not... By the person doing
crime
it.
Crime is created.
By the person doing
by
it.
By we the people.
Oh, okay,
and
I'm
politicians. By the laws they pass.
By you doing like
everybody. By the laws that's
right.
been passed.
Thank you much, Sandra.
Crimes are set up.
Thank you, Sandra.
Because you correct crimes, Dr. Ken.
All right. Thank you, Sandra.
Why are you going to say that?
Thank you, Sandra. That's what you believe. Thank you.
I know.
Appreciate
okay,
you.
How come it's not crime in the suburbs then?
Have a good weekend.
How come crime is not there? I'll talk to you Monday. You don't want to hit that topic. I want you to hit that topic once for me.
Have a good weekend. Bye.
I want you to hit it. And tell me why ain't no crime in the suburbs then.
Why isn't there crime in the suburbs?
Okay, bye.
No,
have a good weekend too, though.
Have a good weekend. Answer the question now. Huh? Why isn't there crime in the suburbs?
Well, because they got a lot of money and the police to protect them. Because that money speaks.
Wrong.
And if we don't get the money we need for our city,
we'll talk about
bye.
We'll fight about it on Monday. All right, take care. Have a good weekend. Bye.
Okay, bye, Dr. K. I'm coming to the window.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. 833-212-1017 is the number. I'm behind already anyway. Winky, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, good afternoon to you, Doc. You know, I really like Sandra, and she's an older lady, and I respect her very much.
Yes.
But it seems like she want to challenge just because. I mean, she know ain't no crime here but us because we the only ones live here. So, I mean, we the only ones living here, so we the ones actually committing the crime. And when she talk about the suburbs and what they doing, the white folks snitch on each other out there. They ain't got no problem with telling. They ain't got no problem with telling on their own, man. They tell right away.
Correct.
As a matter of fact, they'll snitch on each other and be playing cards in the joint together. And they, Steve, why did you tell Roland had that Jackie and the kids? I had to do something. And them boys would do their bit together. And they've been sticking on each other. But anyway, I called because I need to hear something.
Your phone is muffled and disappearing.
Okay, when I say that, it started muffling and disappearing. I need your help.
Okay. Depends.
Okay, it started muffling.
No, seriously.
Listen, Dr. King.
What's up?
Dr. King. This verdict that came down today with this gentleman,
yep.
And he was found guilty, and that's a great thing. But Dr. Ken, I've been mentioning this, and I've been making a stink about it. Janaya Walker was working at Pizza Shuttle in 2022, She has been missing ever since, and her mother's been looking everywhere. My thing is that we understand that there was no actual DNA of this Sade, and if she was chopped up, and she was chopped up pretty brutally, there would be some kind of DNA or blood or some kind of, there would be some kind of, something.
Evidence. Evidence.
Some kind of evidence that, right. that's the crime scene.
Okay.
We need to find out where the crime scene is, and I guess that's the $1 million question, because if we can find that, I'm sure we would find many other DNAs there. Because wherever
well, we
he chopped his
that.
Baby up at.
We don't know that. So don't make
okay,
assumptions.
Okay, well, you know he didn't chop the baby up in the house.
We don't know that.
We do know. Oh, come on now, brother. Ain't no way in the world he can get away with the blood. It would have been a, hey, man, listen.
Y'all said it cut him up in the, and it's in the house. Like, every step that people argued about where the evidence was going to go, it didn't go. There was no DNA. There was no blood. There was nothing that was attached to him.
But it happened somewhere. And this guy's not going to have a come to Jesus moment. This guy's not going to have a come to Jesus moment.
You ready?
Yeah, what'd you say?
I don't think he was the only one.
And you know something? Guess what? I reviewed that, and I reviewed a couple of other places and locations, and they were adamant on giving this girl liquor. I don't know. I don't want to get into that. But I will say this. I need to, some kind of way, maybe approach the new owners of the property. I would like to pay to have that excavated, that property. Because
too late.
Why you say that?
Nobody's going to let you excavate their property, no matter what happened there.
Well, they might don't want to be living on a graveyard.
They bought it. You think they don't know?
Yeah, but brother, even in the property sold so fast, that's suspicious. Like
there
maybe
was
a family
no
never bought
evidence
it,
that anybody was killed there. So you're not going to excavate that property. Like, it's a lost
what if
cause.
The new owners would allow it? What if the new owners would allow it?
What if the new owners
come
then
how do
you
do that? Do you have a police?
Property?
No, do you
don't
you have a police?
What?
I get all of that now. Now, it's a good time to be negative, but this is serious issue. If you knock on these people's door and they agree, oh, sure, why not? We sign the papers to get the place excavated. We energy power mines, all of that. Now, do you have the police? You have to have a police because this has got to be treated as a crime scene. So
it's too late.
Have the police?
It's too late. They're gone. Any decent, okay, your phone is muffled again. Any decent person could argue that whatever you found there, the crime scene has been spoiled. It's done. They have gone through it. If they sold the house, they got there. Anybody could have come in there. You could find a pint of blood in there.
We're not saying that he's the point. I got the point. But what if we're not saying that he is the perpetrator at this point. But what if they find a skull there with teeth that can with dental we can
how
find
do
out
you
who
prove
this,
he
who
got
person.
There? You can't. The scene has
but
been
we prove
released.
That it's been.
It doesn't
all
matter.
We want to do is make this there.
Once the police released the scene, somebody could have came in behind them and tossed a skull in there. There's reasonable doubt on anybody having committed a crime after that. Like you just.
But it would still be worth questioning this guy.
He's already going to jail for life. I mean, what else do you want? He's in prison for the rest of his life. I mean,
close for any other missing people. Dr.
How do you know it's tied to him?
Hey man, for one minute you seem all right, then the next minute you just go. I mean, either you're there or you're not.
Either I don't agree.
No, it's not about agreeing with me, but it's about bringing closure. What about bringing closure?
My job is not to bring closure. My job is to close the case that's in front of me. We got cold cases.
Okay,
people.
But you're no longer doing
finish.
That. You're retired from that.
Why don't you be quiet and let me finish? We got cold case people that work on those types of cases every day. But you're not going to go back into a crime scene and pretend like you found something after you already released the crime scene to the public and anybody could have put anything in there. That would not stand up to anything in court. They would throw that out. They wouldn't even let you to present it because it's bad. It's bad evidence. It's fruit of a poisonous tree.
If you did find something,
you
when you bring closure
where
to the
it
family.
Came from.
You but regardless of that, they
okay,
know it's there.
All right, I'm done.
They can have
all
a funeral, right?
Have a good one. Talk to you later.
Man, I can't believe it.
This is not TV. And it may not be fruit of the poisonous tree, but I digress. This is not TV. If you don't have evidence, you can't build a case. If you can't build a case, you can't give somebody closure. Give them a false sense of closure, then find out later, well, actually, that's the skull of a deceased goat from 20 years ago. Then, no. Once they release that crime scene, anybody could have did anything. So, unfortunately, but fortunately, we've got the city, the county, the state, and national people who only work on cold cases. Something will happen. They'll find someone. Let me see if I can squeeze them in. Eastside Corey, you're on the award-winning 101.7 The Truth.
Hey, Dr. Ken. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
First of all, great interview with the earlier this week with the NPS supervisor.
Superintendent.
That was a great interview. Superintendent, thank you.
Thank you.
I think I watched a little too much true crime investigation.
Yeah.
Okay? And I'm the same way. But I keep going back to the days of Dahmer. There's always that question looming. I don't know if the question's ever asked the why and the how. And like Rinky.
The how, yes. The why is irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. Only in the sense that, I don't know, is this the way our society is set up right now?
Well, the why follows the motive when you're investigating. So if I know why you did something, then I can probably prove that you did it and how you did it. Now we
have that question ever asked?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was asked in the interview. Sure.
Yeah.
But if you don't admit to it.
Right.
How do I get that answer?
I also think, is this a situation that is exclusive, not exclusive, but characteristic of Wisconsin? Because we have, you know, two of the famous serial killers that come from Wisconsin.
Like who?
And
Dahmer and Ed Gein?
Yeah. And I'm wondering.
Some states have more.
I don't know.
Like New York.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah. California.
I'm just glad. I was very happy that you were the one that gave me the news. I didn't look at the news today or television, that you gave me the news today about the results of the trial.
Okay.
And 30 minutes. That's like a slam.
30 minutes one day, 20 minutes another day, 51 minutes, and they were done.
That speaks volumes about how the evidence was presented.
It does not.
It does not.
Because some people got acquitted in 51 minutes. Somebody in America got acquitted in 51 minutes. So it's you just don't know. You just don't know. That's why the jury deliberation, they're sequestered and they debate.
Mm-hmm.
And you got 12 people of your peers, and it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. I like how they treated the family with the announcement today. Also, that was very well done.
Well, that's not how you treat it. That's how you do it in court. Everybody be quiet. Everybody be quiet. You're going to have a verdict. And when you hear the verdict, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, we need you quiet.
Yes.
Because when one party and the other party's mad, you get a dust up in court. The next thing you know, a fight's breaking.
Yep. Right. Exactly. But I'm gonna pray for the family and pray for our city.
Oh yeah.
That this was a one time thing for this young man.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a sneaking suspicion that there were maybe things that led up to this. I don't know what motivates somebody to not only kill someone, but then to cut them up into pieces. It's like that extra.
Yep.
So, but I appreciate you, and I like your style. You have a great weekend, okay?
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So Sincere on the YouTube chat said, is there a chance you could be wrong? What if they didn't do a thorough investigation and later they find remains there? Talk about that when I come back.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You know, somebody said about Maxwell Anderson, stupid is as stupid does. Yeah, he did.
Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
It's been one of them days, I'm telling you, boy. Woo! Finally made it through. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Tory Lowe Show's coming up next. Hey, y'all, God bless. Take care. Have a safe, quiet, functional weekend. All right? All right. Thank you, X. Appreciate you. God bless. I'm out.